at your feet now to receive your word, to receive that instruction. So we pray, Lord, that you bless Pastor John as he brings forth your word. Lord, may this word touch our heart. May it instruct us. May it challenge us for this year in our lives every single day. Father, we pray that you bless them and you anoint them in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Oh, before you get started, I just wanted to mention, too, Carol is back. Carol Lakos. Carol, stand up. For those that know, Carol had major surgery, and this is the first time back. You've been gone a while, haven't you? Well, you've been gone longer than that, but I mean physically. No, I'm just kidding, Carol. She was out at the University of Michigan Hospital, and then she had to go into rehab. You were there for, what, 6-7 weeks? Yeah, a long time. So we got the opportunity to go out there, do a Bible study and all. But she kept telling me every time, you know, I'd go out there, you better tell Eddie not to, you know, give up my usher position. And I go, no, we guarantee you when you come back. So as long as you get me a coffee, you have it back, Carol. But good to see you back. God bless you. And she was in our prayer. So it's good to have you back in the family. Amen. Good to be back. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, if you were here last week, I spoke to you about walking in godly wisdom and how it that helps us to proclaim the glory of God. And so we talked about wisdom, all the different things, and there's a scripture that I was reading this week. It says in Proverbs 4, it says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Wisdom is something that God's word, and it makes it very clear that it's definitely important for us if we want to be successful in living the Christian life. When we walk in wisdom, we not only get blessed ourselves, but we honor God by showing the world, by proclaiming His wisdom and His glory to other people. We give others around us an opportunity to see God's wisdom demonstrated in our actions, in the way we live. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. It is our job as Christians to represent Christ on this earth, or to represent Him. Remember, He came here, He revealed Himself, and now we get to represent Him and bring Him glory. What I mainly focused on last week was, how do we get this wisdom? How do we get hold of it? And we looked at five different scriptural principles. I'm just going to review real briefly that we need to be able to get hold of this wisdom. The first was Proverbs 9:10 that tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And of course, it doesn't mean that we are to be afraid of the Lord. That's not what it's talking about at all. I really got into the study of that word to make sure. And what it does mean, and I was sharing it on at our home meeting on Wednesday, and I was thinking of it in terms of, most of you know, many of you might know that I love to go to the Grand Canyon. I've probably been there at least 10 times or maybe even more. And every time I go there, I could just stand on that rim and look out over that canyon. It's like looking at the ocean. I mean, it's huge. You can't see across it. You can't see the ends of it. You just see this vast expanse of all these colors and all these, you know, different levels and paths. You see some paths down there. There's a river going down through the... It's a mile down. It's huge. It's miles across and many, many miles long. And I actually I went through it on a whitewater raft. And it's just such a beautiful thing. And when I think of that, I think of how awe-inspiring it is. Something that you could stare at and just for hours and hours, really, you really could, and just behold its beauty. And that's how we should be looking at God. That's what God is like. I mean, to be in awe of Him, to be in awe of His power, to be in awe of His majesty, His wisdom. He wants us to revere Him, to honor Him in all that we do, to respect Him, and to such a degree that we would always want to follow His law, always want to follow His way, and never veer from it. The second thing we need is humility. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom." I was trying to counsel a young man one day who came to me, you know, for help. He wanted some help, he said. But guess what? He already had the answer to everything I tried to tell him. You ever talk to somebody like that? Everything you try to say, they already knew it. I knew that. Yeah, I got that. Yeah, okay. Well, it's like, I can't give you anything. I mean, he knew everything, and yet his life was a mess, a disaster. But he knew it all because he needed to get to that place still where he was broken and humbled, where he was actually ready to listen and to hear from God and maybe somebody else. We need to be humbled if we're going to be able to really hear God. The next thing we need to do is a pretty simple one. It's basic. But how many times do we forget to do the basics, don't we? You got to get back to the basics. That was a song back quite a while ago by a group called For Him. I haven't heard it in a long time. But I know in sports, they always have to bring you back to the basics. You know, get back. And it says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. We were talking about that Wednesday night, and I liked what Ricardo brought up at the home meeting. He says, yeah, God does that without finding fault. And he's talking about how when he had, for a while, he wasn't doing real well with God. And yet, then when he got back and he got himself right again, he just knew that God wasn't, like, wasn't blaming him or cutting him down or anything. It was like, I'm just glad you're here. And that's how God is. It's like, he's not going to nitpick you. He's not going to cut you down when you blow it and you come back to him. God, I messed up. What do I do? Show me how to get over this. Give me wisdom. And that's what we need to do. We need to ask God. The next thing we need is we need the Word of God. And it's the greatest source of wisdom on this earth. I was thinking about if we took all the libraries, all the books in the world, and we put them in this, I don't even know, we couldn't even fit them in probably the biggest building that there is. Maybe we have them in 20 or 30 airport hangars or 50 or 100, every book, and then we put the Bible over here. Which one is worth more? The Bible. If there was no Bibles in that other pile, I'll take the one, just the one Bible. That book is something else. It's the only book that's alive. It's the only book that can actually speak to us and get inside of us and change us and minister life to us, and it can do so many things. It's filled with wisdom. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, or the woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's Word is living. It's active, it says. We need to learn it, we need to love it, and we need to let it guide us. It's a wonderful source of wisdom. And then finally, the last one that we looked at that we really need, and that's the Holy Spirit, also called the Spirit of Wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, small s, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us, so that we may have wisdom. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, big difference, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities. What's that? Wisdom. The reality of the spirit world, the spirit things that are all around us. We are in this physical world right now that seems so real to us, but it's passing and it's fading. It's all crumbling, and it's not even solid. It seems solid, but it's not. The spiritual realm is what's eternal. The spirit realm is what's real and what's lasting forever. We are in a temporary place. It's like we're out camping. We got our tent set up, and we're here on like a journey. And then one day, we're going to go back home to the real world, which is the eternal spiritual world. This section of Scripture also, the way it says, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. And if you notice in that section of Scripture, it points out that there is obviously more than one kind of wisdom, that there's two. There's this human or earthly wisdom, and then there's the spiritual realities that is wisdom from God, heavenly wisdom. One that is good for us, that's the one that's called heavenly. And a second kind of wisdom called earthly that brings really nothing but trouble. God makes a definite distinction between those two types of wisdom for a reason. And he wants us to make that distinction too. To learn to differentiate between human wisdom and godly or heavenly or spiritual wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" When Paul wrote this, there were these people out there called sophists. They were the wise men of that age, and they were on the lecture circuit. They went around to different cities, they went around town, and they spoke. They'd go to the different amphitheaters, you know, or different places like that, and they would speak to people, and people loved to come and listen to them. Their logic was often way off. They really didn't understand the truth because most of them weren't Christian, but they were trained speakers. They went to like schools. They were mentored and they were trained in how to speak. And so they tickled the ears of everyone that came to listen to them. And everybody thought, because they were such good speakers, that they were really wise. And that's why it's saying here, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? That's who he's talking about. And then he says, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world, or made them foolish? Because they were. They were the celebrities of their age. They were like the elite. These are the same kind of wise men that they turn people away from Christianity. They actually spoke against it. They ridiculed it because they said it was too simple-minded. They said it was for simple-minded people. Think about the so-called experts of our day and the wisdom that they share with us. Most of it's foolishness. It really is, a lot of it. I mean, some of the things, I'm just going to look at a couple things that they talk about, like don't discipline your kids because it only teaches them violence. In other words, don't spank them in any way because it teaches violence. Just reason with them. Did you ever try to reason with a 2 or 3 year old? You know, now in California, the teachers can't do anything with the students that misbehave. No matter what they do now, they've made a rule. They can't kick them out of class. They can't put them in detention. They can't suspend them or anything. They just have to leave them there. Doesn't matter. And now that those kids know that, where do you think that's going to go? They can do anything they want. They could probably sit there smoking, drinking, you know, doing whatever they want. Probably some of the things would be way worse than that. They're teaching, they want to teach safe sex in school all the way down into the grade school. And not only safe sex in the normal way, but they're also teaching safe sex in perverted ways. Now, today, doing that kind of stuff in our schools. And there is no safe sex in reality outside of marriage. Marriage, of course, is no longer between just a man and a woman. We know that now, right? According to the experts, according to the worldly wisdom, now marriage can be between anybody. It doesn't even have to be two people. It could be more than two people, or it could be one person and a porpoise, a dog. I saw one, there was a tree. Now people are marrying themselves. I mean, you can do whatever you want. Pedophiles are now called minor attracted people, so that people won't be frightened when they hear how they are. Professors in college, all they teach now is socialism. Most of them, it's 9 out of 10 are blatant socialists, communists, teaching our kids, our young people in college. It's a scary place to send your kids. They have to be very grounded. Honestly, I wouldn't even send the kid to a 4-year college. At first, I'd send him to 2-year in a community college just to keep an eye, because it's scary out there. Abortion, of course, we know it's just a blob of tissue, right, according to the experts. It doesn't mean anything. And now, in fact, they've passed laws in our country. In fact, there's a man running right now. Most of them running right now in the Democratic Party are fine with killing babies after they're born if they were trying to abort them. Literally. They passed that law in New York, says, in fact, they can't even try to save them. They have to let them die or kill them. One doctor says, I just squeeze his throat so I don't hear the cries. That's our wisdom of the world. Isn't it wonderful? Evolution, climate change, all these things, they're so smart. On and on the experts go. Where they stop, nobody knows. These are usually honored and respected, trained, educated individuals of worldly wisdom. But we have to remember to ask ourselves, when we're listening to them, are they smarter than God? Are they smarter than God's Word? Are they smarter than the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. Why should we ever put the wisdom of the world above God's wisdom? I know I can easily agree with God's Word, and yet so many of these so-called experts are the ones who stand in judgment upon our faith, upon our Christianity. And they're getting more bold. They're getting bolder all the time in terms of how they want to suppress Christians, our faith, our speech, our actions, and in fact force us to live like they want to live. They are. I'm not just saying this. They call us simple-minded people, and many other things, clinging to our guns and Bibles. Fortunately, we recognize the simple truth, God's Word. They laugh at Christianity because to them, it's foolish. But it's not because it is foolish. It's because they are. We have to guard ourselves. We really do. We have to guard ourselves from being laughed at or mocked out of our Christian beliefs. This happens. See, our culture around us is so pervasive, pushing worldly, sensual, ungodly, anti-God sometimes, beliefs, cultural norms. They're changing all the time. Our world around us is changing. We're in the midst of it. And we have to be the ones who stand strong. We can't let them mock us out of our beliefs. If we are, we're being laughed out of wisdom and into foolishness by fools. Think about that. You want to be laughed out of your Christianity by the foolishness of fools? No. We have to take a stand for what we believe is right, what we know is right. It's not just that, you know, we're this group of people, we chose this way to live, and just like we're like any other number of groups of people who choose a different way to live. We have the truth. We have the risen Savior. We have the Word of God that prophesied the coming, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. Prophetic words that prove the existence, that prove the truth, that proved who our Savior would be. And He came back from the dead to prove that again. Hundreds of people saw Him. Billions of people now follow Him. And yet, our culture thinks it's foolish. Who's the fool? James 3:15 says, "Wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil." It's earthly. How is it earthly? It's earthly because it measures itself and its success by worldly standards. And that wisdom has worldly goals and worldly values. Now, not everything that's worldly is evil. I'm not suggesting that any you know, information is evil, any book you read that's not the Bible. I'm not saying that. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But anything that's based on earthly wisdom is prone to eventually go off course. That's the way it works. It says it's this wisdom, this earthly wisdom, is unspiritual. It's unspiritual because it's carnal. It's sensual. It cares for our fleshly needs. It cares for the needs of our body. It cares for the needs of this world. It never considers preparing us for eternity. Earthly wisdom does not care about heaven. It does not care about where we will spend eternity. This time on earth is such a minuscule portion of our existence. It's like the opening dot on a volume that's billions of pages long, trillions. And I want to make sure that I understand what's important for my eternity, as well as take care of this time too, because the Bible does give us the wisdom to live in this life. You see, we don't have to get all our wisdom from the worldly sources. The Bible gives us wisdom for eternity and for now. Worldly wisdom doesn't even touch eternity, and the wisdom we get for now is sometimes good, sometimes not. So why would we want to make that our main source? It also says it's of the devil. How is it of the devil? Well, Satan's influence can be found just about everywhere in human wisdom. It's all over the place. Pretty easy to see the sin and all the stuff that's going on in our culture, if you want to call it culture. His deceptions and his lies have infiltrated almost every profession. And it's sad to say that it's even infiltrated many Christian professions, even churches sometimes. There are pastors and churches out there that are promoting they're asking God to bless abortion clinics, driving women to get abortions. There are churches out there that are doing all kinds of things that are abandoning the Word of God. Some of them don't even use it at all. Unity Church and others. Some of them have twisted Bibles that they've written for themselves that they call themselves churches. But there are, of course, there is a true church too. Almost every school of thought, if it's not Christian, has been polluted to some degree. All this worldly wisdom has some kind of philosophy behind it. Something, you know, and it's rooted in things that are not true, and it's rooted in lies. And do you remember who the father of lies is? So you see, the devil, the Satan, the satanic influence is all around the wisdom of this world. Again, sure, there are good books out there. I'm not saying don't read a book by any means. But we have to really be careful. Make sure that it does not go against what we have in our Bible. James goes on to say in the very next verse, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice." The wisdom of this world is always bringing division. There's destruction, there's greed, there's evil, there's all kinds of things out there. As people reject God, we see that division becomes more prevalent. Look in our country right now. Our country has never been so divided, and there have never been so many people in our country who have rejected God. The number of people that now attend church is at an all-time low. The number of people that, you know, that, I mean, there are, believe me, there's still millions upon millions of committed Christians. But I'm telling you, I don't want to make this seem like a doom and gloom by any means. It is not. I'm not saying that. But I'm just trying to point the picture. In our society, in what is accepted, that we used to accept Christianity used to be the law of the land. And now we know that it's not. Now it's made fun of. And so that's caused people to say, well, then I don't want to be a part of it. And then there's all the other people, like us, that are on the other side that say, it's still the truth. It doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter what you want to believe. It's still the truth. And the truth will win. So we've seen now this divide. And it's actually good in a way, because we're seeing those who really are for God and those who are not for God. And it makes it easier for us to, you know, to know who to pray for who to witness. We have a wonderful mission field now right here in the United States of America. And don't worry about it. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to fear it. We just have to work to change it and to bring it back. We have a job. We have the wisdom. We have the truth. We have the knowledge. We have the information. We have God on our side. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We're not lacking anything, except that we got to get out there and do it. We have to use our wisdom. We have to use what we have to turn things around. And I'm seeing signs all over that that's happening, not only in the United States, but in many post-Christian nations. And then there are other nations that are turning Christian by the millions. So the world is always fluxing and fluctuating, but the kingdom of God is always growing. Always. The kingdom of God is always growing. So don't feel like I am not painting a doom and gloom. I'm trying to show us the reality so that we can use what we have to build the kingdom. That's our job. Those operating in human wisdom will drive people apart. That's what they do. They're always trying to, you know, drive people apart. And what do? Our job, our goal is to bring people together, to build unity within the body of Christ, within the home, and even outside of the body. We try to bring them in. We try to build friendships. We try to build relationships. And we use the wisdom we have the knowledge we have, the understanding we have, and I should say we let the Holy Spirit use us then to go out and touch other people's lives. God's will is always to unite. The devil's goal is always to divide, to conquer and destroy. God wants to bring us under the headship of His Son, Jesus Christ. Human wisdom will never bring glory to God. In fact, it can't, because God will reject it. Think about the Tower of Babel. Remember that? They were going to build their tower up to the heavens, and they were going to prove that, you know, humans really had it together. Well, God, what did God do? He destroyed it. I've got a lot more that's going to be going into heavenly wisdom. All I'm going to do, though, right now, I already knew I wasn't going to finish this today. So we're going to split it up between the earthly wisdom, which we just looked at, and the next time I speak will be on heavenly wisdom. But I want to just read it and just sort of hopefully whet your appetite maybe a little bit. It says in James 3:17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, then considerate, then submissive, then full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. There's a lot of good that's going to be going on, a lot of good things that are going to be happening. And I just want to say, heavenly wisdom is going to be a tremendous blessing to us from God. And that's something, if you want to take a look at that scripture and maybe start just thinking about some of those things. And don't forget that if you want wisdom, ask for it. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. Doesn't that sound pretty inclusive? Every one of us here, every single one of us here has the opportunity to get wisdom from God. I don't care if you only went to third grade or if you got a college degree. It doesn't make any difference. We can all get wisdom from God that goes beyond what we can learn in any school or institution. We weren't born wise. Wisdom isn't just knowledge. It's not just information. It's not even intelligence. It's something special that comes from God. It's something that comes from Him through the Holy Spirit into us. He gives us a piece of His wisdom, His knowledge, His understanding, His ability. We get to see many things the way God sees them. The veil comes off our eyes and we begin to see things in a different way. And the more wisdom we get, the more we grow in wisdom, the clearer that picture will be. Remember, the wisdom we want, it has to come from God. It's not an earthly wisdom. I mean, we have to study books. You know, if you're in school, we got to study the books. We got to study our math and our geography, all those different kind of things. That's fine. But the heavenly wisdom that we get helps us to put on the mind of Christ. I want to have that mindset. I want to see things like God does. I want to see things, I want to see into the eternal realm. I want to see into eternity. I want to get a vision. Don't you want to do that? Get a vision of eternity? The importance of what's really important in eternity? Like the things that we do, what are the things that we're doing? Are they building into eternity? Are they touching the kingdom of God? Are they building the kingdom of God? That's supposed to be our first goal. Seek first the kingdom of God. And wisdom will always show us how everything we do can in some way be connected to that goal. seeking first the kingdom of God. Whether it's building your own home, your own marriage, raising up your kids, getting better at your job, at work, whether it's living out your retirement, whether it's running a Bible study, whether it's, you know, being part of the prayer team or just going up and praying, whether it's coming and teaching a class or whether it's sitting in on the class. Every one of those things, as we learn, as we grow in the wisdom of God, every one of those things we will see are important. And then taking that, we learn it, we love it, and then we share it. We lead others to it. That's all part of the kingdom building. Wisdom, it says, is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. That's what the Word of God says. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. We'll be back to finish that. All right? So let's pray. Let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward.